हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय हरि बोल ओके सो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 2 देन वी ऑन वर्स 4 is on page 36. Having offered respects to Guru, Srila Suta Goswami offers respects to the Lord and his devotees. Quote, before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Nar Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary, having offered respects to Guru, Suta offers respects to Devata, presiding deity, etc. Narayana are designated as the presiding deities of this work, since they have authority over the place. Footnote 9, Vyas first wrote the work in Bhadarikashrama, where Narayana reside. The Devata subject to the Bhagavatam is Krishna, Narottama. Saraswati is the Shakti. Okay. Footnote 10. This is not the material deity. In the spiritual world exists counterparts of the devatas of the material world, who assist the Lord in the pastimes there. For instance, Divya Saraswati gives Krishna mantra to Brahma in Brahma Samhita. Right, so it means we look at it, oh, the demigods are here, so there's counterparts of the spiritual world. When actually it's the other way around, that the expansions of the Lord's Shakti in the spiritual world, then they're surrounding the eight Shaktis and all that. They're the ones expanding into the material world, right? But then they just take on the quality in the spiritual world, and they're all connected with Yogamaya, with Krishna. And the material world, then they're not connected with Yogamaya. You know, it means for the living entities, they themselves may be devotees, but the point is that they're dealing with the living entities. Like in the spiritual world, all opulences, all the senses are engaged in Krishna's service. But in the material world, then we see is that people want the opulences without Krishna and want them for themselves. Therefore, you generally see is that very popular is worship of Dana Lakshmi, right? I mean, so Dana means, you know, all the wealth and that, and that you're going to receive it. So you see Lakshmi with the elephants and the gold, you know, coins and, you know, all auspicious things and that. But you don't see her with Narayana there. It's not that they don't at other times worship like that, but they'll worship her on their own just to get the money, you know. So, yeah, the Shakti of it would be the Divya Saraswati. The word cha indicates the rishi, sage of the work, Vyasa. Footnote 11. Before reciting a mantra or scripture, it is customary to utter the name of the sage who revealed the mantra, in this case, Vyasa. The meter, Gayatri, the form of the Lord who is the subject of the mantra, Krishna. The bija of the work or mantra, Om. The Shakti of the work or mantra, Saraswati. The Adishtatri Devata, Nar Narayana, and the purpose of uttering the mantra. Right here we see it's the very means of conquest. So that would be the purpose of reciting it, is to please the Lord and the devotees so that we may conquer over material consciousness and come to the transcendental position. Some editions have the word Vyasam instead of Chaiva. That makes the meaning clear. The bija is Om, and the meter is predominantly Gayatri, since the first verse of Bhagavatam begins with Om and reference to Gayatri. Having offered respects to these person, one should utter Jaya. This is a verb form, calling out to Krishna with raised hands. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna, Hariva, Gaur Hariva. Victory to Krishna. By using the potential case, Sutta teaches other sages of the Puranas to do the same. Jaya also refers to this scripture because one can conquer samsara by studying it. So the meaning would be one should then speak the Bhagavatam, Jayam, right? Because by speaking it, one can cross over this material ocean and attain to the lotus feet of Krishna, because that's the point. So it's not that we're offering respect so that, you know, all, I, you know, it means I can give a nice class, but why should you give a nice class? To please Krishna and the devotees, right? So that everybody may move forward in the Krishna consciousness, come closer to Krishna. Not just that I'll give a great class and everyone will tell me I did gave a great class. Right? That we're doing that, that we're giving a nice class is by Krishna's grace, and that we're in the association of devotees talking about Krishna, that's all perfect. But it's always, you know, best to understand that the purpose of that is pleasing Krishna. It's not just up to that, then everybody's just doing a great job. Because that comes from our conditioning in the material platform. That having good facilities expert, you know, knowledge and expertise, action that gets good results is generally what's appreciated and respected in this world, right? But we're looking at the aspect of that. No, it's about that you have nice situations, and with you know, good focus and intelligent qualifications, you perform actions that get results that are pleasing to Krishna. That's actually the proper understanding of Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana. So we have to see is that that is then what we're trying to do is take it all the way to Krishna, right? Don't stop in between, because Krishna is the ultimate cause, right? So we don't want to stop in between, because there's causes all the way up. Right, so you have to see going back and back and back what's the ultimate cause. That's why any solution to any problem in the material world is only Krishna consciousness. Because you take it back, it always goes back. Okay, why did this happen? Because of this. And why did that happen? Oh, because of this situation. Why that situation? Oh, because of this other consideration. Why did that happen? Because of this. To keep going, it ultimately comes back to because of mundane consciousness. We left Krishna, we're here, and we're trying to be the controller and enjoyer. And everybody trying to be the controller and enjoyer in the same place at the same time with the same facilities is always going to create problem. So therefore, by becoming Krishna conscious, you give up your envy, then you can cooperate together and do things for Krishna. So any problem, its actual solution is Krishna consciousness, not otherwise. Right? It means you're going to have the mechanics. You might be doing something in a way that's not mechanically correct, or maybe it's mechanically correct, but you don't have the knowledge how to use it properly, or maybe the knowledge and the action is correct, but you don't have the qualifications. So there can be so many things, and you can say, yes, it's because of this. But the point is if you look at it, well, it's actually the Krishna consciousness. It's not that you're not going to change those external forms, those external elements, but it's going to be seen that those formal elements are not being used properly because we're not Krishna conscious enough, right? If we're starting from, I'm trying to get a good result for Krishna, right? Then it comes back to then, you know, how to do that work nicely, that it works out for Krishna. And so if I'm not the one to do it, find somebody who can do it. If I am the one to do it, then do I have the particular knowledge to do it? Do I know the technique to do it? Am I applying it properly? You know, is the time and place correct? You know, all those different things, because for Krishna, then you're going to work them out. But if you're not working them out, it may be because, you know, you're not doing it for Krishna. It means ultimately, of course, one is doing it for Krishna, but one might not be that conscious, and therefore that being conscious of Krishna is not having its effect on what you're doing. Because if you want to get the best effect, you're doing. One could say, oh, no, but you can't concentrate. And so then let's say you're trying to do something for, let's say, a test. You know it's for the test, so you're really focusing and really putting in your effort, and you get good marks. Or you're cooking a meal, there's some special guests coming over like that. And so you're aware that you're cooking for them and that their qualification and how, well they know nice food and all that and stuff. So therefore you have to focus and do nicely. So the two can go together. The point is consciousness and activity, there's no problem in them going together. They're taking up different space. Right? The consciousness is not in your arm that you're moving around when you're cooking. It's in the heart. It's in the consciousness. So the higher the consciousness, the better result in whatever situation. You can say, well, I don't have good facility, or the ingredients aren't that great, or my technique is not that great. But whatever it is, the higher the consciousness of what you have, it will get the better result, whatever it is. You could say, oh, but the karmis are getting better. By karma, they have better facility and better qualification in the way of having the knowledge and skill to do that activity. But the point is, since they're not doing it for Krishna, even it came out really wonderful, at the same time is what benefit has been gained for them or anyone else. Right? So that always has to be seen, is that the practical is practical as long as it's in line with pleasing Krishna. And as soon as it's not in line with pleasing Krishna, then what's the purpose of practical? Just you got it done and you got an expert result. That's just in line with your particular conditioning. But if for it to actually be a proper standard, that then has to be according to your Krishna consciousness. So that always has to be seen. But the point is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana go together. One can say, no, it's just this, or no, it's just that. The point is it has to be, it's just for Krishna. That's all that matters. So it doesn't matter if I'm qualified or this or that or no, those also. Because when you say Abhideya, Abhideya is the combination of the qualification in Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? And that proper knowledge, proper qualification, proper understanding, the three combined make the actual Abhideya. Right? So that means you have the knowledge of the field, you have proper relationship with the field, you have the qualification and knowledge to perform that, the skill, and you know what result you're trying to get. And then it's ultimately for Krishna. So therefore, then you're trying to do it in such a way that it comes out nice for Krishna. So they all go together. When we overemphasize one side or the other, then there can be a problem. Now, if somebody's underemphasizing something, you may overemphasize it to bring it out. But once it's been brought out and understood and it's being applied, then you have to bring it back to the balance. If you keep the overemphasizing, it will always come out. It won't work. The point you make will become hackneyed, right? Because it's too much for what's there, right? So that's the point. It's just like, let's say, someone's using this real little bucket or a real little pot, and so because of that, the thing's too full and too easily, there's a problem, or you can't do everything at once, or whatever it is. So someone is telling you've been saying that they should use a proper sized pot, but because they don't understand, then you bring out this really big pot. It might be an oversized pot. You bring it out and put it down. It says, this is a big pot, right? And then they put everything in there. It only fills it up halfway. So then they're able to do everything very nicely. But now if you always overemphasize that it's a big pot, when it doesn't need to be that big. It might have been that if the pot is 2/3 full or 3/4 full, then it works better. It sits on the stove better, or if you're washing something, it'll fit in the sink or do something better. But yes, in the beginning, it made the point. But once the point's made, then you may have to adjust it if there is any adjustment. So in other words, overemphasizing something then is to be overemphasized when it's being underemphasized. But if it's being discussed in a proper way, you don't want to overemphasize. Otherwise, it doesn't match. It doesn't fit. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is the Abhideya has to be the proper balance between Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, and that knowledge, that Sambandha Gyan. That Sambandha Gyan, all three features are understood, then you can actually apply it dynamically as Abhideya. Then it works very well. Yes, no, okay. So here, yeah. So now one can conquer samsara by studying it. So that actually becomes the purpose, right? So everything has, who it's related to, how it works, and everything, and what it does, right? So you're always going to have everything again, always comes back to Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, right? And continuing, replying to the questions put before him in the previous chapter, Suta Goswami declares, O sages, your questions are praiseworthy, and because they are in relationship with Lord Krishna, they are meant for the world's welfare. Verse 5. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening, also, the same birds come back and again become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers. And so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers. And the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they're not at all satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. So then here's bringing out is that the point is you're doing things. They say the question and answers, this is always going on. That's what it's all about. It means, like you see, you have gossip in that is questions and answers. You want to get something done in that, it'll be questions and answers. Whatever it is, you want to experience a certain thing, then there's questions and answers. So everything's going to be about questions and answers. So Prabhupada's pointing out here is that unless those questions and answers are about Krishna, there'll be no satisfaction. So you can do your whole life like that, questions and answers, and you'll never be satisfied, even if you can't change what questions, what answers, what field, all these things, you still will not be satisfied. So that's why you have to see everything in line with Krishna. And that's where the point comes. So you're getting something done for Krishna. So ultimately it would be just like this is being done for Krishna. So therefore I'm going to do the practical thing that needs to get done. And then having done that, the result that I get, I will offer that to Krishna. So in that context, then, all these variety of questions and answers then will have meaning once the result is given to Krishna. That result being given to Krishna, that then creates the environment where the questions and answers then have meaning. Just like anything you do, you cook nicely, then offering that to Krishna, now all the cooking in that had meaning, right? So the point is, some may say is that, oh, but devotees do things so roughly, this, that. But the point is they offer the result to Krishna, therefore it's perfect. So their position, even though it might be rough or unsophisticated or undeveloped, but because the end result's given for Krishna, it's perfect. And the karmis, no matter how wonderfully they may do something, it's so refined and precise and exact and intelligent, if it's not given to Krishna, it's just like a mirage in the desert. It doesn't have any meaning because you have to understand it's about the soul, not about anything else. So the point is yes, getting things done, being efficient about that's good, but it has to be that it's about Krishna, because if it's not about Krishna, then it's just lost. So now, yes, for the devotee, so they do things, and even though they may be a little bit rough and ready, but they're getting it done and the results offered to Krishna, so it becomes perfect. But now that is Krishna explains in Gita in the 11th chapter that that's called renunciation. Right? Means that you're doing the work, getting the result, giving the result to Krishna. But now, more developed than that is then that principle of sannyas, where I'm doing this for Krishna at all stages. At all times, I'm thinking about Krishna. So there's not a point where I'm not, right? Or or at least at a regular basis, it is. It's not that it's my work, my result, I give it to Krishna. I go to work, I do my work, I get my money, now I give money to Krishna. No, it's I'm doing Krishna's work, it's getting Krishna's money, and that money is being delivered to Krishna. That's the difference. So in that stage, then you want to be aware of the quality of your work and how you're getting it done, because the end justifies the means. Then if the result's given to Krishna, yes, it gets purified. But if it's being done at all stages for Krishna, then you start to look at, well, what's the res how it's being done? What's the quality of the work and it's being done? And so therefore, then you want to see that, how you're dealing, how you're interacting, the particular techniques that you're using, all these different things, the quality of the result you're getting. You want to see that that's all up to a very nice standard. And then that it's already Krishna's. Now it's just a matter of formally bringing it before Krishna or offering it to Krishna. But it's his all along. It was meant for him. Like in the deity kitchen, they're cooking for Krishna. And so, but you still have an offering, right? But some person might be thinking, I'm doing this cooking. My technique is good and all that. And at the end, they give it to Krishna. Right? So it's subtle, the difference between, the means, So in this, then we can look at, you can say, oh, but in the past, devotees have done all this and that and so many things, and it was rough and uncultured, and people can't relate to that and all that, but they did offer it to Krishna, so it's still perfect, no matter what you want to say. And if one can't see that, then one's not actually appreciating Krishna consciousness, the power of what it really means. But so now, if you want to improve that, improve the quality of their consciousness in that now that you're doing this for Krishna, so deal with the devotees nicely, deal with the paraphernalia nicely. Do like you're going out of Sankirtan, you're distributing the books. The books is the real thing. You don't take care of the van falls apart. Then, one day it's time to go out for your preaching engagement, but the van's not ready, or, no one put petrol, or, whatever it may be. Because they're thinking, my work is, I'm doing this for Krishna, it's most important. And yes, doing anything for Krishna is most important, but that doesn't mean you don't take care of the details, because the point is it's also about the sambandha, sambandha abhideya aspects of it, that you're getting your result. And so you have to see is that those things are taken care of. So it's Krishna's van. That's why you put petrol. That's why you take care. That's why it's maintained. And then when people see that, oh, okay, because it's for Krishna, then they start to try to do everything more nicely. Does that make sense? That's how you refine. In other words, that consciousness that it's all for Krishna, keep that in place, that drive and striving for Krishna, pure devotional service is left in place. And now you make people aware that you've gotten that, right? The prayojana aspect you have in place. Now let's refine on the sambandha and abhideya parts, right? That the quality of the work, the quality of my understanding, the relationships with others, other individuals, the devotees, that anybody it may be, or the paraphernalia, I have to raise my consciousness concerning them. Because the point is, when it connects to Krishna, that's where it becomes perfect. So basically, you're doing reverse engineering here. You're getting it as Krishna, and then you start to work on the other things. Because if it's connected to Krishna, that's perfect. Well, if you just try to do these very nice, refined things and very sophisticated, and then, when that's good, then we can offer it to Krishna. Then the problem comes is that it's not in the material platform, it's never perfect. You may think it's perfect, someone else doesn't. It'll never get offered to Krishna, right? Does that make sense? So now, if in doing this, that the devotees are acting in a rough way, and so you say, oh, we got to stop all this roughness and all that. and you know all these things that they're you know they're being rough because they're in the temple, or they're being rough because they're you know brahmacharis, or they're being rough because you know they're how you say male chauvinistic you know whatever it is you know or whatever is your particular value that you want to see it from. If that value is not seen in the context of pure Krishna consciousness, but instead seen in the context of ideology, then you've lost the actual result. And now you're supposed to developing these nice things in the external performance, or the quality of the situation, or the quality of the work, or quality of the ingredients, or your particular mundane technical knowledge, the mechanical knowledge. That won't get anywhere. Otherwise, then those who are so pukka and professional and sophisticated all be devotees if it went that way. In other words, if I be me being more pious, more professional, you know, more intellectual, more practical, then that is the cause of my Krishna consciousness, then anybody who's doing that would naturally be Krishna conscious in the world. But they're not. In fact, much of the time we see they become more and more, they become Naradamas or Mayaipratigyanas or Asuras, you know, or just doing their work and being practical, they become Mudhas. So we have to understand this. No, it's because it's being done for Krishna. That's why it's there, and you can't take that for granted. So you can't take that the end results for Krishna, and then the dealings are a little rough and ready. And so to improve the quality of this, we have to lower this, and then we get the thing. Now everyone will be attracted. Now people are banging down our door to join and take part in Krishna consciousness. And so how well has that worked out in the last 30, 40 years of having this mentality? Where is it? Right? You know, I mean, if we're talking about modern, that means science, that means data and statistics. And if you look at the data and statistics, it's not working. So therefore, yes, it has to be about the pure devotional service. And people do that, then you start to refine the other things. But you get that down, that'll last. And if that's lost, then, you know, there's no end to it. Because everything's always you do this and oh, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. Oh, we're trying to adjust with the karmas, you do this much. Okay, then how about, you know, but what about they won't like this. Do they like chanting 16 rounds every day? Do the karmis, they wake up in the morning and think, yeah, today I want to chant mantras for 16, you know, 108 of those funny round bead thingies. Is that what they say? Oh, I want to follow the four regular principles. I want to do everything without attachment and just do it for Krishna. Is that how they're waking up? No. So therefore, everything will go. Getting up early in the morning, all your sadhana, everything that you're doing, how you're cooking, the cleanliness, all these things. Oh, it's not practical to wash my hands every time, right? You know what I'm saying? Because that's the point, is if you're looking at Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, there's always something that's practical for that, but not for something else. So Krishna consciousness, you know, that balance, the Daiva-Varnashram, that balance is how much you use them so that they can all cooperate together to please Krishna. So it's not about the rule, but it's also not about dropping. It's not that, oh, you do this rule, and it's only if you do this rule, then it's about Krishna. And then the opposite is, oh, we don't have to worry, it's just about Krishna. So the point is the illusion is that Niyamagraha or Niyamagraha are the process. No, devotional service is the process, and pure devotional service is the, you know, and pleasing Krishna is the goal. And we, as servants of Krishna, that's the position, our identity. When we see our identity is, I am Krishna's servant, I'm the soul, I'm Krishna's servant, then we can see ourselves in any situation connected with Krishna. Because in any situation, you have the opportunity to be engaged in any of the nine processes of devotional service. Right? So then we may have, you know, whatever it may be. So we can say, oh, I can't do this in this situation. It's just like, let's say, you know, it's about time for artik. So it's not that everybody gets up on the altar and does the artik. But you can see is that those who are on the altar, then they're doing the artik. And so now what can I do? Oh, I can sing kirtan, I can dance, I can play musical instruments. I can do something else. Yes, G, please.
Oui, Krishna Maharaj, je peux dire que c'est ma sensis. Only if you can more explain this, how to say, balance between this external and internal. And
Yes.
because sometimes we can be really Krishna consciousness focused, but there will be no so external marks of this and opposite, you know, then how to see the balance between this.
How does it, okay, yes. So in this, then the importance is to understand is that there must be a balance, but you have to know which one's primary and which one's secondary. So the Krishna consciousness is the primary one. That always has to be there. Now, like you said, the person's Krishna conscious, but in the external, you're not necessarily getting good results, or things are going really slow. It's like Prabhupada mentioned, gave the point. Something being done quickly and properly, good, in a nice way, is the mode of goodness. Something being done quickly and badly is the mode of passion. And something being done slowly and badly is the mode of ignorance. Now, generally, whenever I mention this, then there's always, the hand comes up, yeah, what about if it's done slowly and not good? So that's a mix of, how you say, goodness and ignorance, like that. So you have to pick that up. Like I remember that was one comment that the one sannyasi that I was serving with made after about 6 months of being with him. He said, well, now sometime you're doing things more quickly. And it wasn't just being aware, it would be that there's less ignorance, because you're floating in this sea of ignorance. And so you're like a sloth. Everything, is being done in a real slow way. And for you, it's fine, like that. But then with time, the heart gets purified, and then you start to notice, oh, things move at a faster rate, like that. But the point is it's being done for Krishna. So you always have to see is that it has to be done for Krishna as the primary. And you want to get the, since it's for Krishna, you want to get the best results. Now, best results, now, at least from our vantage, is going to be how well I understand the situation I'm in, and it's the elements within that situation and the qualification I have to do that activity. And that combination then is going in other words, the focus and effort is going to give a better result. Ultimately, the result's up to Krishna. So Krishna might give a very nice result, even though we didn't do it so great technically, but our consciousness was good and Krishna arranged it that way. But the point is you have all those three points: my focus, my endeavor, and my consciousness for Krishna. So that the one for Krishna, that's the one that has to be seen, that's the one you have to emphasize when people don't know anything, because otherwise if you start off on the other two, they'll catch it. But then the problem comes is they don't necessarily move to that last one, because oh, I caught their attention by talking about what's the situation, how to deal with it like this, or I talked about who you are and how you fit and what's your qualifications, because these are all like self-help or practical kind of things, or like those kind of aspects. But as soon as they start talking about God and all that, now they lose interest. And so if I'm not careful, I may think that them losing interest is bad. And so therefore I just continue on and, oh, we'll do something later. Or then we come up with the, oh, we're bringing him to the mode of goodness and that. And then later on, Krishna got like this. But the point is no, you see, Prabhupada, the first thing is what's the consciousness? Therefore, the devotees would be doing that. Is why is it that the means you see is that the temple program, just the Mangalarti to after Bhagavatam class, maybe some places maybe can prasad. That's generally the strongest thing and your broadest range of devotees, right? Because that was the primary thing that Prabhupada gave, is the focus on that you're absorbed in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and you can do that at Mangalartik, and you're chanting, Tulsiartik, Darshanartik, a Guru Puja, Bhagavatam class, taking Charanamrita, circumambulating the deities, dealing nicely with the devotees, so therefore they'll offer the prayer, Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha, like this. And so those activities are strong because he emphasized it. But now the things where he's talking about the secondary, and he talks plenty about that secondary, right? You could probably, I'm not sure, this is just a general, but you could probably say at least every third page probably is talking something about the secondary elements of Varnashram and, the various, qualification skills and practices that are there. But generally, it's mostly about the primary. But now you see is the primary will be caught and the secondary won't be caught at all or very minimal, So that's the thing. Or you see that there are those who are more pious kind of backgrounds and nature. They may see, okay, they take it. Yeah, God consciousness is there. They take that. Okay, yeah, that's there. But these secondary things, we have to improve those. And they don't necessarily put any emphasis on the Krishna consciousness. Right? So now, whether they're coming from a Vedic pure, what do you call it, piety, or they're coming from a Western religious piety, or they're coming from a Western, kind of more liberal arts, educated kind of piety, whatever it is their idea, then they'll overemphasize those. And unless those are in place, the one will be, unless you're following the Vedic culture, then it's not going to work. The other will be is no, but unless you're kind of religious and good and nice and like that, and like those kind of things, then you won't be nice. Oh no, but unless you're educated and you have this particular understanding and these kind of ideologies, Krishna consciousness won't function. So all these, considerations of piety, then they're not going to make you more Krishna conscious. If you're Krishna conscious, they can help. Right? In other words, if you're dressed nicely and you put on ornaments, it will add to it. But if you're not dressed nicely, just put on ornaments, it's kind of like what? So you have to understand is that the material qualifications are simply ornaments on Krishna consciousness. Right? And they, as you see, because it's about Krishna, the ornaments become more bright and more attractive because of their connection with Krishna. So when you put ornaments on Krishna, the ornaments become more attractive because he's the most attractive. But we're thinking, no, if we do that, because otherwise, I think there's, what do you call it? I'm not sure what it is, but I think there's a saying in English, something about, oh, maybe it's about dressing up a dead body or something. You put all the nice ornaments and everything like that. Like, so there's always that, or maybe it's a little bit more rough one, putting lipstick on a pig, like that. I think there's different ones. I've heard things here and there. I'm not sure where that may be more American, like that. But generally the more refined ones come out of England. They were, refined 150, 200 years ago. It's not that the person saying them are that refined these days, but at least, what they say tends to be a bit more. So that has to be understood as primary and secondary, and primary is not dependent upon secondary. If the secondary is there, it simply adds. It's just like I can give you in a leaf cup some very nice preparation, right? You have the cup in your hand and you're eating it, and it's good. Now, if I put that in, let's say, a nicer kind of bowl and like that, and I have a nice place for you to sit, it improves the environment, but it doesn't change the taste. Right? Now, if I make a, really nice special arrangement and lighting and some music and all that, then it adds more, but it doesn't change the taste of the preparation. Right? You can say, no, but it makes it all better and all that. Without that, it wouldn't be so good. Okay, let's try going to that 3-star Michelin, restaurant and all the things, and it's reserved for you and your people, and everybody's just coming and taking care of you. It means you've reserved the restaurant. There's no one else there. They're doing everything, coming out, all the things are happening, but there's no food. Now what? That's when you can see is no, this logic falls apart at that point. There, it's the food. Right? It's the prasad. That is what is nice. So that has to be seen as that the primary, that's why we say bhakti is independent. The holy name is independent. Because despite the external, it works. Right? That's the whole point. It means, Magrari the hunter, when he's sitting there and talking with Narad Muni and becoming realized in his knowledge, is he physically better dressed or cleaner during that conversation? No, his heart becomes cleaner. So in that way, apavitro pavitro va, right? He becomes like that. But and then after that, he'll start regularly, taking a bath, doing a sadhana in the morning, this and that. It'll come. So, but the point is it got there. People who come to the program, they're not necessarily clean or, definitely not pure, but not even necessarily clean. But by taking part in the conversations, hearing the kirtans, seeing the deities, talking with the devotees, taking prasad, their heart becomes changed despite their lack of material facility or qualification. But then it naturally comes. They naturally want to take a bath and be clean and do all the right things and all that. So that's why Prabhupada says you don't have to change what you're doing. You just have to change the consciousness, right? That Hare Krishna address is, that's like the essence of the philosophy. That's why Prabhupada used it. He's just reading from the purport of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I think I'm not sure if it's from the Samhita or if it's some other. But point is one has to see that's there. And if you see is okay, there's not enough going on here. The devotees aren't as refined. Then keep the Krishna consciousness place to show them how they're Krishna conscious. They're focused on that, but they're not, let's say, mature enough or refined enough to be able to extend that drive in Krishna consciousness to the other elements of the activity or the equation. So you have to show them how to, without leaving the Krishna consciousness, keep adding. And that way, then you extend it, and then it becomes complete. But otherwise, if you think is, oh no, but they're unrefined in that, and the educated people will not come forward. And the problem is the persons who are saying that were PhDs before they became devotees, or were teachers, or are functioning on the Brahminical platform. How the hell did they join if no one of any character or culture will join? They all joined, every last one of them. Thousands of my God brothers and God sisters, thousands. Not necessarily PhDs, but my point is, these kind of ideologies and all that they had before they joined, it's like they joined anyway. Right? And so that's the thing. They joined. Means before becoming a devotee, I would be what you'd call, as a mid-teenager, a natural food freak, right? Where you don't eat anything that's got any chemical in it. And this. So a friend offers, hey, you want some of this? I'll take the bag and look at the ingredients. If it's got one thing in it, this chemical or this, I'll put it back and say, no. I wouldn't eat anything that wasn't. I had to bake my own bread. I had to do everything. And then you join the devotees, right? And they're cooking with straight up front white sugar. And everything goes forward. You don't care. Because Krishna consciousness is so much more important than, sugar is going to kill you and this and that and all these things. And so sugar is going to kill you, and it's been 50 years in Krishna consciousness. Come on, move on. It's like, because, I guarantee you something else is going to kill you, like that. Old age is going to kill you. So the point is that all these things, it's just, no, you can't go. And then, oh, this is so important. We have to catch all these people, but you've already caught so many of them. I don't know if you've seen videos where, I'm not sure where it is, but it's someplace where there's kind of like a little courtyard. It might be Los Angeles, but I can't say. Where Prabhupada's sitting there's one or two other devotees, and there's about 10 or 15 academics sitting there, all on the little chairs, like kind of out in the garden and all that. And you see how they're asking questions. They're not challenging at all. They're going, Swamiji, this and that, but if this is there, then what about this? And then Prabhupada very pleasantly explains it. And just straight Krishna consciousness. And they're all there listening. Not one. A whole garden full of them. Right? And some of these ones that were there have written, you know, intros into our books and all that, and appreciating and so many things like that. So the point is Prabhupada, how he's doing it, and he's refined, he's doing all those things. We're not refined, but what do you want from a pack of malechas and yavanas? Right? You know, a few devotees were sophisticated, refined when they joined, but not most of them. Right? You know, they're young, they're off the street, you know, whatever it is. They're just coming in. But, you know, I mean, those first ones that came were actually had jobs. Right? For the ones at 26 Second Avenue, they were unique. They actually had a job before they became a devotee. Right? You know, one worked at the UN. One, you know, others were teachers. Others were professors. You know, all these different things like that. And so they joined here. Here's the qualified persons, you know, and even if you take religious, I mean, when I think it was Kirtanananda, I'm not sure that his father was a Baptist priest, you know, preacher. And he used to walk around the Lower East Side with a Bible, you know, they always have the Bible. You carry it like this under your arm and walk around and pull it out. Yeah, the good book says, you know, and stuff like that. And that's all they do. They just walk around and find somebody that they can catch and who they can say something before they run off screaming, pulling out their hair, right? So that's what he was doing. And then they caught him. So you got professors, you got, you know, UN, this is like peace, you know, love, you know, no, don't kill. And what's the book that they're studying from? Bhagavad Gita, which is about a war, right? Like that. And all these different, and you got all, and then they pull these guys off of, you know, the street there in New York or in San Francisco off of, you know, how you call it, Haight-Ashbury, you know, it's just like, you know, yeah, whatever it is. You know, probably in the purport says, yeah, with the living entity, then, you know, when they become overwhelmed by material energy, they go crazy. And then he mentions the hippies as the example, you know, and as hippies, we're thinking, yes, we joined because we are such elevated consciousness and that. And that's why we came to Krishna. We were already there. And it's just Swamiji show. Oh, no, it's over this way. We were already on that level of transcendence. We just had to be pointed in the right. No, they were like, you know, bottom of the barrel. You know, it's like, you know, yeah. So the point is that one has to see is that it's the primary that's the main thing and the secondary. So if you want to do it, so yes, in 1980, they want to refine things, then great. But then look at it from, okay, the Krishna consciousness, this is solid, don't lose that. And then show this. And if they at any point getting too overabsorbed in the you know, in these mechanical elements, you know, in the knowledge of mechanical elements, you know, all by prestige or by getting too mechanical. No, because it's the same thing. Because anytime there's mundane, it will get the same thing. You say I'm doing it in a refined way, but is it? You know, before it would just be they go, you're lazy, you're not doing the things, you're not getting the work done, or you're spaced out, or you're crazy, and this is why you can't do this service, right? You knew what was up. You knew what was actually there. You agree or not agree? That's another thing. Nowadays, oh, you know, it's just a, you know, so things have changed and we have to make some adjustments. And so, yes, we have no facility for service or a place for you to stay or anything in that. In fact, it would be, we've already put out a restraining order that you can't walk within 10 blocks of the temple. Why? Oh, no, you know, it's like, no, it's nothing to do with this and that. And this. And then that's it. And so that's better. That's refined and sophisticated and educated. But how is that? No, it's not. It's the same thing. People would rather know, you know, you're doing this in the wrong way, and we told you a million times, and you won't change, and so we got someone else to do it. It's kind of like, oh, okay, so maybe I should try to change, you know. Like this, but the point is, and if you did change, you can continue the service, right? So that's what we have to see is that The problem is if you switch to anything else other than pure devotional service as the primary element, the main thrust of the most important element in the discussion, you will end up with something mundane that won't work. Guaranteed, right? Unfortunately, Maya won't give you your money back, but it's guaranteed. Right? It doesn't matter because you see, you go into the corporations, it's a dog eat dog. You go into the administrative, it's dog eat dog. You go into the universities, they kill each other over the position and chair and who gets tenure and this and that. And the shooters, naturally, they're killing each other. Right? And you go into the, below the shooters, just into the, all these different gangs, this, that, they're killing each other. So that's going to happen anyway. It's just that, what is it? You used to hear the adults say, when another adult comes and they're arranging things and they ask them, okay, what's your poison? Right? In other words, they want to know what particular alcohol they want to drink. But they call it poison. They know it's going to kill them like that. But whatever it is. So it's just a matter of, okay, well, what's the nonsense that you're comfortable with? Right? The dog's comfortable sitting on your couch and everything like that. But if he sees a mud puddle, I mean a serious mud puddle, dogs will jump into it, roll around it until they're covered from, I mean, the only thing left is their nose that doesn't have mud on it. And they're so happy. Right? So the only reason they're not like that is because you brought them into the house, you took them to the vet, you gave them a bath, you have a special flea collar on them, and you whack them every time that they chew your pillows up. Right? But otherwise, if it was up to them, they would act quite a bit different. So the point is what are you willing to tolerate? Someone who works in the political field, they have to deal with politics. Someone else that doesn't like pot can't handle that. They'll work in something else. So whatever it is that you can tolerate, that's what you work with. But to say that being like that, it has to be what I tolerate, that makes Krishna conscious. No, that's comfortable for you. Search that out. Find those people that deal very nicely and things like that and are comfortable and gentle and all that. Find those, work with them. If you like guys practical, down to earth, getting it done, getting like, then find those practical people, work with them. That's the whole thing. But the main thing has to be Krishna consciousness is going on. That's the primary thing. If it's anything else other than that, it will not satisfy us. As Prabhupada said, everybody, he's gone through everybody here in his in the in this purport. Because he's mentioned your questions are praiseworthy because they are in relation with the Lord Krishna. They are meant for the world's welfare. That is real question and answer. But then it goes, the whole world's full, like right? Birds, beasts, men are all busy, right? Morning and evening, the birds are coming and chatting. Before, in the long building, you had these gardenia bushes, and they were very nicely kept, big, huge. They were easily, 3 meters high, 4 meters high, and big, full. It was just like a solid thing for maybe what? It means very long, like 100 meters or something it would be. And so then or even more, maybe 200 meters. And morning and evening, just like Prabhupada is saying here, it would be full of these little the sparrows, these little dinky brown birds. And there'd be thousands of them, and they'd come and roost there at night. And it was a riot of them just chirping and asking questions and answers every morning, every evening. It was like a riot. And then as it gets dark and all that, they would become quiet and then quiet. And in the morning, as soon as it starts to get light, then the talking would start until it becomes a riot and then they'd all fly off. Right? But it's there. He's mentioned them and then the human being, whether he's unless he's sleeping, it's question and answer. And then what is it? Then the businessmen in the market, the lawyers in the court, students in the school, legislators in the parliament, politicians and the press, like that. So he's covering everybody. That it's not that, oh yeah, that applies to everybody except us, sophisticated liberal arts, intellectuals, that yes, no, we're different and we don't do those kind of, no, this is everybody. This is the way it goes. And so one has to see is that unless it's about Krishna or connected to Krishna, it doesn't have any value for, the living entity, and therefore for mankind or the world at all. He said the humans are Krishna conscious. The life for the animals is better also, right? That means the whole universe goes better. The humans are doing, being Krishna conscious. Everything in the whole universe actually goes better. So, and what's doing, what's adjusting that? It's because they're Krishna conscious. If they're just following the Vedic things very nicely, it goes better. It mechanically goes better. But when you adjust the consciousness, that's when it actually becomes better. It means, it's said, and Mahabharata will mention that there was a, when was it? I think it was, yeah, I don't remember the example, but it would have been a time when everybody was very Krishna conscious. Might have been in talking about Satyuga, or I think it was a particular incident happened, and then after that, everybody was Krishna conscious. The animals themselves also wanted to do something that was connected to Krishna. They tried to improve the quality of their lives, just seeing the humans. They would try not to fight as much, not to harass as much, because sometimes animals just fight to harass. They're not actually, there's not a need. It's not like they're protecting themselves or this. Like birds will go, cats go out, and I think they can kill, 150 birds or something in a month or something, or they don't need that, they just do it to do it. So when the animals like that, they would only kill a bird to eat. All the other ones, they won't bother. They won't bother the one cat sitting there, and the other one comes up and just has to whack it. There's no need. So like that is that even the animals try to raise their consciousness and become better, I think. Oh, what's that? They became the better. Yeah, they, whatever. They just try to be better. So that's the whole point, is the Krishna conscious. Now, if you just following the Vedic culture and everything very nicely, the whole universe runs well. The facilities will be there for everybody. Doesn't mean they won't fight over it, but the facilities are there. And so then to say that, no, it's going to be about how our skills and our Western skills and our different things like that, that's going to make everything work. It's like, when? So the demigods don't care how well you did something on the material platform. It's not in line with the laws of nature that they're managing on behalf of the Lord. It's not going to work out. So we have to see is, even you want to talk mundane, the Vedic is what's recommended. But the point is even that's not enough. It's devotional that makes the greatest thing. Right? Because people notice that. People see there's been studies been done that people who are, their dealings are sincere or nice or things like that, that attracts attention better than that they're just very expert at what they do and stuff like that. The sincerity is more noticed. That's why you see a child does something very nice, very innocent. Everybody's attracted because the mood is right. Right? Yeah. Does that answer?
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the important thing is that to extend it, in other words, the result is for Krishna. That's where Krishna starts in the Gita. Then you see, okay, then the result is coming because of the action. That action is there because of the consciousness, and the knowledge and everything you've got, and dealing with everything right. So you just extend it down into there. But if you give that up and do this and say, when this is right, then we can get back to Krishna consciousness. No, then, Krishna consciousness, that's lost. You've lost everything. And the other thing, you've lost a little here and there. So,
It's clear now, thank you.
okay. Yeah. So in other words, it's not that, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, it's not that any of these philosophies and positions and all that don't have something of value in them. It's just they're incomplete because they don't add Krishna. And as soon as they add Krishna, then those things that are more prominent will come up, those things are less prominent. So they'll all become, they come to the same platform, right? You know, it's like the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. They're all on the transcendental platform, but they're emphasizing different features and aspects and qualities of Krishna that will take them to different features of the spiritual world, like that. So you're going to have the individuality, right? That's the thing. Oh, but if we do this, we'll lose our individuality. Yeah, but if you centralize and bureaucratize, then there's no individuality either. You know? So the point is if it's connection to Krishna, then that's perfect. And that's how the individual comes out. I remember someone pointing that out is that, you know, they had been in so many situations and different groups and clubs and that. And he was saying that when people come in to the group, they're all different. And then with time, they all become the same. You know, very similar and everything. They all talk the same time. Then, but he was saying about devotees, though, no, it's when they all come in, new devotees are kind of very similar. You know, they don't know it's a new thing. But with time, they become so unique. So he's saying you can see is that it's a personal movement. It's not like the Maya bodies where they all become the same. It has that uniqueness. So the individuality and uniqueness is not lost. In fact, it's cultivated. That's why Prabhupada put so much emphasis on that. Don't you know you don't want to remove the individuality. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay. So verses 6 through 7. Srila Sutta Goswami answers questions 1 and 2. In the next two sections of verses 6, 7, and 8 through 15, Srila Sutta Goswami stresses the importance of the process of self-realization and its goal, devotional service to Krishna. Sutta further states that since Krishna is the absolute truth, one must satisfy him by devotional service. So again, you see in answering these questions, because I think in this chapter, 4 of the 6 questions will be answered. I mean, he gives a simple answer, and then he'll elaborate on 4 of them. So all 6 will be given an answer, but he'll elaborate more on 4. And then others will come up in chapters after this, but ultimately it's the whole Bhagavatam is about discussing these questions. In verse 6, Srila Sutta Goswami answers question 1 found in 119. What is the absolute and ultimate good, Shreyaha, for people in general? Right? Quote, the supreme duty or dharma for all humanity is engagement in the transcendental loving service to the Lord. However, such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. That's verse 6, footnote 12. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, when first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. Right? So then that's the point. So supreme dharma is engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And then within that, unmotivated, uninterrupted. So that's going to be the point that comes up is that if there is something that is not, you could say, palatable in the engagement in the service, like, you know, someone was too rough in their management or there was, you know, a lack of refinement in doing something, or you know, the aesthetics weren't there, or you know, whatever might be the aspect that one is seeing a weakness that no, the devotees aren't up to the standard to be attractive and all that. The point is that here he say it must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So in other words, there's something there in which it's interrupted. It's there and then it's not. Or there's motivated. You're managing, you want to show that you're in charge. That's why you say these things or deal in that way. Or, you know, it's just about getting it done. So you want to get it done quickly, you know, because whatever is the reason, either you value your time or your development that is practical or something like this, but you don't consider other elements that are there, because you're dealing in a particular environment. You want to see to all as broad elements as you can. So then it comes down to is refining. In other words, everything is being done for Krishna. That's the whole point. Your goal is pure devotion. But then it's a matter of, okay, the impurities, anything that's not satisfying is going to be because of something to do with karma jnana. Either in the person performing the activity, the person viewing that activity, or both. Right? It can be the person's very simple and innocent and that and has no other motive, but someone else seeing it thinks that oh, that's unsophisticated and unrefined. But then that's about the person viewing, not about the person who's doing. Right? Or it can be they both have a problem. Right? So one has to see, because like Shishupal, he could see faults in Krishna, right? Means at the Rajasuya sacrifice, he gave 100 faults of Krishna. 100. Right? And Shishupal's mother had asked Krishna to forgive him for 100, insults. So then, it said that Krishna sat there and they had given him this nice thing of betel and everything. And so with each insult, and Krishna moved one betel nut over and another one and another one until it was 100. And then with 100, then he stood up, took out his Sudarshan Chakra and cut his head off. But he tolerated, because his aunt had asked him that, tolerate 100 insults, because she just knew that he was. So in most all means he was still alive at that time because he never got to 100, right? So his mother picked a good number. So, he was alive up to then, because this started when they were little children, right? So then like this, but because it's Rajasuya and it's a big thing and everyone's there and whatever it is, and so he really wants to make his point. It means you have everybody from who's who in the universe at that Rajasuya sacrifice. Brahma's there, Shiva's there, Narad's there, everybody, all the demigods, Indra and the Digpals, they're all there, right? Plus all the kings of the world. So now, if he makes his points and his insults, then it's more. So I'm sure he brings up ones that he's, his favorite ones and probably new ones he's thought up, like that and whatever. So he's doing all these things, and so he gets to 100. So his mother didn't factor in that maybe there'll be the Rajasuya sacrifice. Otherwise, she might have said a few more, more than 100, but whatever. It was 100. So then he's finding fault in Krishna, who has no faults. So why won't people find fault in devotees? Right? So that's it's it happens. Like that. So you can't adjust things because people are finding fault in you because of their own faults. Unless it's something that you have a variety of ways you could get something done. And so if they culturally don't prefer one way, you could do it another way. And if they like that, then great. But if they don't like any of the ways, it's like, why should we change? We eat with our fingers. Why should we change? You say, oh, it's so disgusting and this and that. And like, how do you eat a sandwich? How do you eat a burger? And if you're refined, how do you eat asparagus? Right? In the British culture, asparagus is eaten with your fingers. Like that. So that's the whole thing is that, or if you're having a nice meal and there's also bread and butter along with it, you'll butter your bread, you have a separate plate for it, and you'll eat it with your hands, your fingers. So all this thing is eating with the fingers is disgusting and low class and that. We eat with forks like that. Go ahead. Let me see. Watch. I want to see you eat your sandwich with your fork. Like that. No, but that's not practical. That's not how. Yeah, that's the whole point. So it's just arbitrary what you call refined and what not, and what you'd call refined how you eat. There are people who are trained in eating who would say you're an animal. Like that. It's just the ways that how they know how to use the fork and spoon and all these things that how we would eat, just as general people, they would say we're animals. So this kind of thing is not how you do Indian foodie with that. When if educated people went to a Lebanese restaurant, then that they're not going to eat with their hands. They're definitely going to eat with their hands. But somehow or another, Indian food, if we eat with our hands, oh, then we're barbarians. So that's the whole point, is that we can find fault in anything, but we have to see is, well, what's this culture? What's that? What's this consideration of people around? If it's something you would easily eat with something, with a spoon or that, great. You give out prasad, give them a spoon. Why not? They like, they'll use it. They don't like, they use their hands, they'll use their hand. So it's not a big deal. The main thing is to see that the primary is in place. And then, as you want to do, you want to refine something, you develop, don't lose the primary. Otherwise, what is it? I think there's a saying, you gained the world, but you lost your soul. And so that's it. That's the principle. And so it's not that it's a new thing, that parable was said 2,000 years ago. Right? So, yeah. So here's saying is that that's the main thing. Otherwise, it will not satisfy the self. You get temporary something for a few moments, and then you'll be dissatisfied again. Thus, the answer to question one, what is the absolute good for all people, is pure, intimate, devotional service to the Lord. Right? Intimate means it's for Krishna's pleasure. Right? Everybody is looking for intimacy. In the material world, all attempts to find intimacy fail because the materialists are always self-centered, which places them in the position of exploiters. As a result, the very attempts of for intimacy push real intimacy away, right? Because they're trying to exploit. On the other hand, performing pure devotional service to Krishna is intensely pleasing, for it is the soul's natural position. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 1.2.6. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience of material existence. This relationship, the relation of servant and the served, is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendent loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. So Prabhupada is pointing out is this point of servant and what servant and the served. That then even in your conditioned state, you apply that because whatever you're doing is for Krishna. And naturally, because that's the formula you're using, then that means you do that for others. You're serving the family, their family serving you, the family serving the community, the servant, people are serving the country like this. So it'll work. As soon as you go out of this, out of that mood of service, that's where it falls apart, when it turns into this exploiter. So what happens is servant and exploiter. No, it's servant and served. You're serving them, they're serving you. Right? So that's the point. The people are serving the government's serving the people. But when one tries to exploit that position, that's where all the trouble starts. In the next verse, so you can only stop that by Krishna consciousness. You can say, yes, you bring in good things, some ideology, some religious elements, some piety, and then you try to improve the quality of how people deal, but ultimately it won't work because there's always going to be the point of what I can get out of this. I'll get more piety, I'll get more, I'll get a better position in the heavenly planets or, something. In the next verse, 1.2.7, Srila Suta Goswami answers the second question of the sages. What is the essence of all scriptures? Go, bhakti yoga is the perfect and complete spiritual activity. And so one who is thus engaged automatically acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this material world. Verse 7. In this verse, the word knowledge does not refer to impersonal jnana leading to sayuja. Rather, it refers to knowledge of Krishna's sweet qualities, which satisfy the mind and renders everything else distasteful. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this in his commentary. Right. So one thing to appreciate is that bhakti yoga is perfect and complete in itself. And so one who is engaged in, thus engaged in devotional service or the pursuance of pure bhakti, acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. Right? So he gains knowledge, he gains detachment. Coming from that, we try to do it by any other method other than means. Yeah, that's the method. Other things can support that working. Right? You know, in other words, you study, you know, the Bhagavatam on a regular basis, that's going to enhance the knowledge that comes from devotional service. In fact, studying Bhagavatam is going to be, you know, devotional service itself. So one has to see is that those are going it's always you have to keep the primary point as the main. You can't let the secondary overbalance, otherwise then people will forget what it's actually about. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary, what form does that satisfaction of the mind take? The satisfaction of the mind is filled with knowledge and experience of the form, qualities, and sweetness of the Lord, which cause complete disgust with all inferior objects. Right? So, you, in other words, you give up a higher, I mean, you give up a lower because of a higher. So because you have a taste of Krishna's form, qualities, and sweetness. So I think in here the sweetness would be the pastimes and just the exchange between the devotees, right? Then you don't have an interest in anything inferior. That is explained in this verse. This bhakti is endowed, yojitaha, in an excellent manner, pra, for prakarshena, prakarshena, with dasya, sakya, and other loving emotions. Another meaning of bhakti yoga, prayojitaha, is bhakti yoga has been made the only goal, prayojana. Separate endeavor for attaining knowledge and detachment are not necessary in the practice of bhakti. For bhakti itself produces them, right? So, because we'll think, no, you have to become detached or this or that. No, perform the devotional service without attachment. And that, you know, means that you're doing it simply to please Krishna. That will generate the actual detachment. Right? So there's no, and real knowledge is in connection with Krishna. That's the actual thing. Any other knowledge, if it's not seen in connection with Krishna, doesn't actually enhance your is not this knowledge that it's talking about. Very quickly, Ashu, at the time of performing bhakti, they are attained. Thus, it is established in this verse that bhakti alone functions as both the cause and the goal, and not knowledge or detachment, right? So that's important to note, because if you're going to, in other words, for yourself, practice and analyze Krishna consciousness, and at the same time, or you're also trying to help others in their Krishna consciousness, then you have to appreciate that it's bhakti that's going to make everything work, right? It's not the knowledge and detachment itself is what's giving it. That's the state that can be made. If one has more material attachment, then one is inclined to think that piety and doing things in the right way according to your particular perspective or ideology or religious sentiment is going to be the real thing. No, it's Krishna's view, performing bhakti to please him. That's what's meant by intimate service, as being done for Krishna, the person. Otherwise, for God, that's, you know, unlimited and, you know, all pervading and all that. So that's not intimate service. Intimate is Bhagavan, where it's about him, the person. You as a person render service to him as a person. That's the meaning of it. And so then, Prayojita, and very quickly, Ashu, right? So that's
point, Ashu should very quickly try to get to the platform of pure devotional service. Right? No. Means you can mention it to him, like it's right here in the verse. Yeah.
Yes, first.
Otherwise, he thinks it's very quickly getting to his next business meeting. Therefore, one does not have to develop knowledge and renunciation separately from bhakti. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. Right, so the devotion, the direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from other things, right? Because it means devotion, you have that devotion to the Lord, that increases. You get that experience of interacting with the Lord and what it, how Krishna is everything, right? And at the same time, is because of that, you get detached from other things. So they come simultaneously for someone who is taking shelter of Krishna, who is performing devotional service. Right? Just like when you're eating, you eat, it has the taste, it has the nourishment, and it has a relief from hunger, right? So the relief from hunger means you have the attachment aspect, the nourishment, you know, how you say, the devotion and the pleasure, the direct experience. So it's the same principle, is that there's going to be these three features, right? The what was that? Yeah, pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger. Right, so relief from hunger will be the sambandha aspect, the nourishment will be abhideya, and the pleasure will be the prayojana. And because of that higher taste and that cultivation, then the lower is given up. It's just, that's how it's done. So if we're seeing, as we discussed before, devotees aren't very refined, aren't very sophisticated, they're going to, you know, freak out more cultured persons. But only bhakti can actually do this, because then you're saying is, oh, then on the material platform, they have to change their nature. They won't. They can refine their nature, purify their nature, and that purified nature will be appreciated. But to say that they're going to change the sophistication, because the people who are sophisticated that you're worried about, is their sophistication, it may be refined and all that, but what's the character? Right? Sometimes it's just pure false ego. Right? You know, and the sense of superiority and disdain towards others who don't do that. And so these aren't nice qualities, even though they have those refined qualities that you're looking for. And so we see those in Krishna's devotees. We see in the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. They're there in the devotees because it's all about Krishna and doing things nicely to please Krishna. Trying to please Krishna, and naturally you do everything nicely in a way, you know, that will be pleasing to Krishna. So the refinement and all these things, that pleasure, the nourishment, and removal of the material interest will come automatically. That's 11 to 42. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service, engaged in material activities, has no good qualities. Even if he's adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations. He must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? Srimad Bhagavatam 5:18-12. That's the point, is that if there's no connection to the Lord, then one is just going to be doing activities on the mundane platform. And so you can't say that those are, it's lost. Like, just like say, I bring you a large amount of money. Let's say I put it in a bag or something. And I give you the bag and say, here is this much money. It's yours. Oh, wow, this is great. This is great. Oh, I'm rich. I'm this and that. And then I go, okay, time's up. Then take the bag and go away. Can you say he's rich? Yeah, okay, he was rich for, 30 seconds, but like that. If I say, I'll give you $1 million for 30 seconds, like that, you'll be rich. And, oh, yeah, no, I want, like that. And then after 30 seconds, you take it away. So that's the point, is that it's, there are no good qualities. Plus, it's the conditioning, so it's nothing to do with the soul. So the soul actually doesn't have those qualities, not in their identification or their conditioning. It's just their karma from previous lives. They have it, they go through it. So it's just kind of like a drama that goes on, and you have your position and all that. So they don't actually have, because you could say they have, okay, let's come back after 5 years, 10 years. What do they have? Well, the devotee, you see, is becoming more and more developed. The karmi sometimes are getting worse and worse. Or something changes, and that the situation changes, and then they're not nice. That's Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Oh, yeah. Okay, that was in Prahlad Maharaj's. Prahlad Maharaj makes that point.
Maharaj, can I ask a question?
Okay, yes, why not?
Please accept my humble obeisance. Yeah, I'm trying to understand this point that devotees are. I'm not so sure if I understand the point, how what will be transformed and what will not be transformed in when we become, more pure and more advanced in Krishna consciousness, because I feel it's sometimes a little difficult to see the difference between the conditioning, which will be there for the rest of the life, like you say, nature doesn't change, and what is it that will not disappear? Let's say if someone has a pitta body, becomes easily irritated, will that continue even if they're pure devotees? Or I'm not
But
sure.
irritated is okay if you want to take that as a Ayurvedic thing. It's pitta, but pitta also does digestion. Pitta also is, that focus that you can very quickly understand things or analyze things and those kind of things. Pitta also is, tend to be active and all that. So those will remain. It doesn't. The others are just qualities that can come up, the negative. But if you purify those, then why do they need to be there? Or you use that in a way, it's like here, Arjuna, they're dealing badly, so then he fights them on the battlefield. But other than that, he's not. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say I take a silver plate, and the silver plate is, how you say, Vanta black, so when I purify it of the black, what's going to be left?
Yeah, the silver.
Yeah, is it going to turn into gold or into copper? Now, what if it's copper and it's black? I purify it, it's going to be copper. You understand? So, or you have some iron and it's rusty, and I take off all the rust, it's going to be iron. So the point is the nature is going to remain, because that's what you have. Your body is a specific body. The mind, the intelligence. These are specific. You have a certain volume of them or a certain quality of them that will remain, but they'll remain in their purified state, not in their impure state.
So a highly irritated person can become less irritated when they
And the
become.
point is, but getting irritated about what?
Just anything, especially in
Anything.
stressful situations, I could say.
Okay, stressful. You have a plate with that's somebody's birthday party that has first class, cake on it and some other items, and the stress of getting through that whole plate and emptying the plate, and so there's nothing left on the plate.
Not exactly that situation, but
But it is a stress. I mean, they gave you a huge piece of cake and all that, and so you have to deal with a whole piece of cake, So one has to see is that what's it means you're saying that a stressful situation, but what is the stress?
Overwhelmed by work, and then someone calls the person and say, "Can you do me a favor?" And it's like then.
Yeah, but the point is now the point is why are you doing the work?
Yeah, for oneself.
Yeah, so that's the problem. So if you're not doing it for yourself, then what's to get upset about? One's pita ability to see the things should be done or not done, you can use in something more worthwhile.
So it
So
has to do with the false ego there that I don't want to serve you.
That's all. It's just the false ego in that. That's
All
it. It always comes back to any problems comes back to karma and jnana. That's
right.
all. It's how we're perceiving it, right? That's the point, is that we may be looking from this angle and that angle, but if they're not on the from in Krishna conscious, then it may be reflected and we don't see it necessarily in a nice way. What's the value? Is the value is if relationships are the value or this and that, so naturally then those will be always part of the consideration of relationships, and that aren't important, then they don't come up as a consideration. So you have to see is that there's the point that creates the problem, that we see the trigger, but it's not necessarily that we that's actually the underlying cause. You could say is that's the one that there. That's the part that you can see it happen, but what's behind that? Why did they just like let's say you're sitting next to a friend and someone says something funny and you kind of poke them, and you turn to each other and you smile, yeah, that was a good joke. But now someone else, you poke them and then they get angry and start a fight. So it's not the poking. It's the underlying nature below that. In other words, it's always going to come back to, the Acharyas pointed out, the karma and jnana. Rupa Goswami's point, if it's not pure, then it's going to be marked by this karma and jnana. Therefore, it's going to have a problems can come up. Now, maybe someone's problems come up in one way, someone's problems come up in another way. But the point is it, but the problems, the root of the problem is attachment to karma and jnana. As we do devotional service and we get purified, then that becomes less and less, and these things bother us less and less.
Okay, so that has actually nothing to do with the nature, but it's more like the false ego.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because
okay.
we're not, see, it would be like, let's say in your kitchen, you have two pots, a frying pan, a knife, and a grater. So whether you're cooking for Krishna or not, or whether you're grumpy or not, whether you're on top of the world or not, the kitchen's still the same and has the same utensils in it. Now you're cooking for Krishna, then you're using them in the best way. You're cooking for yourself and couldn't care less about anyone else, and that'll be in a less way. You're taking the pot okay, well let's throw in a spoon, otherwise my example doesn't work. You take your pot and a spoon and start banging it and running around the house and trying to make as much noise as possible to harass your neighbors. Then it's not, you're not using it nicely. So the point is that's what you have. The point is what you do with it is the important aspect feature. Because that's the point where free will is. Free will is what you do with something, not what you're in. Predestiny is what situations you'll be in. Right? Free will is what you do with those situations. Does that make sense? You
Yeah, I
can
guess.
say, but how can I improve my situation? That's your free will. Your free will improves the situation. But having improved the situation, that's predestined because you did the activity to do that. If I say, I'm hungry. I want to improve my situation. I go into the kitchen. I boil some potatoes. Now, after 20 minutes, now it's predestiny that I have boiled potatoes. Now it's your free will. Now, what are you going to do with these potatoes? Are you going to, you know, then peel them? You're going to eat them with the peels. You're going to cut them up. You're going to mash them up. You know, these are all elements. But if you decide to mash them, then afterwards, the predestiny is you have mashed potatoes. Now, what do you do with the mashed potatoes? Do you eat them with a fork? Do you eat them with a spoon? You know, like that. You know, it's like, so what do? Do you just, you know, put it in a bowl and stick your face in there? You know, like that. Or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, you do an action, it gets a result. The result is the predestiny. What you do with that result is then going to be your next predestiny. So it's always going back to free will and the result of that. You know, your action and reaction. It's all there. It's natural. So you just have to see is what is your value? What is your basis for that? Why is all the, because the thing is that is okay, you say there's so much work. Is that work more important than the relationships? You know, like that. Or or why is that work important? What does it get you? Does it get you some position, some facility, some respect, you know, some feeling of accomplishment, or, you know, whatever it is that it is, you have to see what's the value in that and why that took precedent over the other person. Unless it was just the wrong time, then it may be that, yes, between this time and this time, then I have to do this because of this deadline. So, you know, please don't ask us to do anything at this time. Or you could just say, I could do that. But right now I'm really tired from doing this and I have to take a nap. So after half an hour, I can start working on it. Then you've said yes, but you've also addressed that you're working hard and you're tired. And so you have to address that tiredness before you can do anything. But it has to be done now, but I won't be able to do a good job. It's like, it'll take me an hour to do it. While they take a nap, I can do it in half an hour. So it'll end up being done at the same time. So it's just a matter of seeing why, what's behind it.
Yeah, the unwillingness to serve, I think.
Yeah, so then if that's there, that's what Prabhupada's pointing out, is that's the nature of the soul to serve. So basically, you see, all problems come up because the soul wants to be the controller and enjoyer.
Mm.
And so that's what gets in the way. As soon as we're in the mood of service, that's when the soul shines. All the good qualities come up, and it's, you know, the relationships, the interactions, the results are always the best. So when the leader of the country wants to serve the people, you get the best effect. When the people want to, you know, follow the leader of the country, you get the best effect. You know, when the teacher wants to serve the students by giving knowledge, the students want to serve the teacher by studying and following the direction, you get the best result. And as soon as that it goes out of that I don't want to serve, that's immediately when the problems come up. But you have to be, you know, practical. Is it just I don't want to serve, or is that I can't serve now in this way? So then you have to see, is that okay? Is it like, you know, if I'm tired, then take a nap and then do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of, someone says, oh, we could do this, and you have another idea. Then it's, yeah, that's a great idea. What about this aspect? You know, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. And then you can introduce your idea into, and then you make the combination, or might replace, or you might see, they may explain and see, oh, actually, theirs is good. Yes? No?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Good. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Bye. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveka Bhaktarinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.